Then he took the child and delivered him to his mother and said to her, Behold, thy son liveth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, today is one of those days it's good to have your missal with you so you can follow the long gospel. St. John tells the very interesting story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Yesterday and today in our Mass, we have an epistle from the Old Testament, a lesson, and a gospel from the New about resurrection from the dead. The Church is counting the time. It's 2 weeks now until Good Friday when our Lord will die on the cross, but he will not stay dead. He'll only be in the tomb for 3 days, and then he will rise again glorious on Easter Sunday. So we're thinking not only of Good Friday, and 1 week from today, the seven sorrows of the Blessed Mother, all that she suffered with our Lord, but we're thinking of Easter Sunday. After all, if our Lord suffered and died in his bitter passion, as we remember every day at Mass, and especially now during Lent and coming Passion Tide, he did it so that we could rise again and be happy with our Lord one day forever in heaven. That's a great lesson of our faith that we must never forget. And as a way of sort of delivering this lesson, you know how Father Lectoranda likes to tell stories, and he's always telling you an interesting little story in his sermon. Well, and I like to read you stories sometimes when I get a chance, if you're young enough and you sit still, so we have a story time. Well, the Church is our mother, and she loves to tell us stories. And by means of these stories, which actually happened a long time ago, she teaches us not only the main lesson, Jesus died so that we could rise with him one day, leave all of our sins aside, be alive in our soul by sanctifying grace, and be happy with God forever in heaven, but also many other interesting sort of little lessons about our faith and all the rest. And if you hear it by a story, maybe you'll listen and you'll remember. That's a little bit the idea, because remember, the Church is our mother. Now, these days, especially this Lent, we're thinking of our sorrowful mother, the Blessed Mother, because this is 100 years since she came to this earth at Fatima to tell the three children the wonderful story of devotion to her Immaculate Heart and what our Lord wants from us for peace. So yesterday we had the disciple of Elias the prophet, and his name was Eliseus, and he raised a dead boy back to life. And today we have his master or his teacher, and he's the great prophet of Mount Carmel. Are we all wearing our Mount Carmel scapulars today? I hope so. That's our way of showing devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart, remember. Well, Elias is the teacher, and we had him earlier during Lent. I don't know if you recall that story. It's a nice story. We had that the first week of Lent about how Elias is sent up to a pagan place called Sarepta in the north of the Holy Land, and there's a drought out, and there's no water, which means that there are no crops, and there's no food, and everyone's dying of starvation. And so he gets to this city, and he sees a widow woman, and she is gathering some wood, kindling wood, to make a fire and cook with. And he says to her, oh, could you get me a little cup of water? Well, that she could do. So she goes to get him the cup of water. And then he calls after, oh, by the way, bring me one of those nice hearth cakes, would you? A hearth cake was sort of like a biscuit, I think, something like that, which they baked right in the ashes of the oven. Bring me a hearth cake. And she turns around and she looks at him. She gives him one of those looks your mother might give you. And she says, you know we're having a drought. And look, I have hardly any meal left. Meal is what you use to bake the bread with. I have hardly any meal left. And I'm just going to gather two sticks of wood together, make a little fire, and cook what's left. And then my son and I are just going to die because there's no more food, not in our house. And he says, well, never mind about that. Never mind. Just do what I say. Well, she believed him and she obeyed. There's something to be said, children, for just obeying. And then there's a miracle. And they never ran out of the meal that they used to make these very sort of nutritious little hearth cakes. And they ate that and they didn't die. Well, the lady got to like the prophet, and she invited him, when he was passing through town, to stay at their house, and he made and she made him a little room with a little stool and a little bed and everything, just what he would need when he passed through. And they got to be friends. Well, then the boy whom the prophet had saved from dying of starvation, he gets sick and he dies. And the woman is very upset with the prophet, and I think with God. And she says in today's epistle, she says, Did I ask a son? Didn't I tell you? Don't deceive me with this stuff. You're coming to my house and you're bringing a curse on my house? She says all sorts of crazy things that people say when they get very upset and because of a loss, of a death, because her son has died. So the prophet then, he prays to God, and that's how they used to pray sometimes. He speaks very frankly to God. He says, "Dear Lord, isn't it enough that you're bothering me and giving me all of these crosses? Are you going to afflict this woman who kind of takes care of me when I pass through town too?" He sort of lets our Lord have it. Sometimes when you're very upset, that's how people pray, and that's all right as long as they're sincere. Well, that's how he prayed, the prophet of Mount Carmel did, and our Lord told him what to do. But it was quite a complicated process. Our Lord said, "Okay, you go upstairs and you put yourself over the boy three times, your eyes over his eyes and your mouth over his mouth, and then three times." And that stands for our Lord becoming a man, because he's God, becomes one of us. He has an eyes and mouth just as we do. So that he does, and then he has to wait, because these things weren't going to happen right away, but the boy starts to come alive. He starts to turn warm again. His body had been cold. And so then the prophet walks around the house and he waits a little bit. Then he comes up and he does it the next time. And the next time the boy sort of gasps for air seven times. Why seven? Well, you know the answer to that. Seven times for the seven sacraments that make us come alive by sanctifying grace. And then the boy is returned to his mother and everybody's happy, and it's a happy ending to the story. The woman in the gospel makes us think of Holy Mother Church, but also our Blessed Mother, who's always bringing us to our Lord when we need God's help, even if we've been extraordinarily bad on our own. Our Lady still looks after us so that we may come alive again, resurrection, confession, sanctifying grace. Now, the gospel is a very, very long gospel, and it's about how the dear friend of our Lord, who is Lazarus, and he has two sisters, and I think none of them ever marry. There's Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. She's Mary Magdalene. Well, they used to entertain our Lord, and our Lord used to stop at their house with the apostles, and they never minded if they came without calling in advance because they didn't have telephones. So they could just come. And whenever they came, they dropped everything and made them a nice feast and cooked a dinner, and they knew they were safe there for a while. They were good friends. So Lazarus gets sick, and Martha sends a message to Jesus, and she says, "Come quickly. He whom you love is sick." And our Lord doesn't come, because God knows what he's doing, and we can't second-guess God. He makes them wait, and eventually he goes with his apostles, and he says to them, "Well, Lazarus isn't dead, you know. He's just sleeping. So let's go and wake him up." And that's all our Lord says, because our Lord's God. He can wake up people that are dead. And when he gets there, he's been buried already, and it's been 4 days. And all the Jews, all their common friends are all weeping and crying, and everybody's sad. And our Lord, he starts crying too a little bit. And Martha, she's being sort of practical, and she's organized everything, because that's how St. Martha was. She was in charge of things. And Mary, she's the younger sister, Mary Magdalene. She's very quiet and holy, and she's a prayerful soul. And she's just weeping and praying. And because she's so sad, she can't quite put it together yet. But Martha gets talking to our Lord, and our Lord says, we have this gospel at the funeral mass. Our Lord says, "Well, do you believe I'm the resurrection and the life?" And Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you have been sent from God." And it's a beautiful act of faith. And then our Lord just walks out to the tomb, and he just says, "Lazarus, come on out." And that's all he has to say, because he's God. And Martha hasn't totally understood yet, because she says to our Lord, Lord, it's been 4 days, and there's a stench now. You can't open up the tomb anymore. It can smell. Never mind, never mind, just obey. And all our Lord does is just says that. And then he says, well, let him go, because the Jews, we used to wrap people up like a mummy with strips of cloth, you know. And the people that are there, they do that for him. That stands for the priest. It's not the priest's power that forgives you your sins in the confessional. It's God's power. But we are like the assistants. And so our Lord gives the power from heaven, that's the Holy Ghost, and we unwrap them, we unwrap you. As soon as you're all kind of all wrapped up with your sins, and that's the priest's job, we unwrap you so you can go free. Everyone's working together for the same purpose. So that's the story of today's Mass. That's the wonderful miracle that took place, and that made the people way back when think, oh, our Lord's going to die, but he's dying so that we can live and rise from our sins. And how beautiful it is to have family that takes care of you and family that worries about you. And most of all, we have our Blessed Mother. She's the one who takes care of us. She worries about us. And she brings us to Jesus, and everything will be all right. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.